The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. Always a little bit late to the party, pal, aren't you?
Hey, happy Friday Eve to you, Crudy. Nice Catalina sweatshirt you got on there. Nate, work on the board. Appreciate you, man. Of course, our fair audience. Join us anytime at 844-967-2789.
Well, they say dress for the job you want. I want to be a Catalina beach bum, man. I'm dressing for it. I'm looking forward to the lovely weather coming this weekend, Don. But in the interim, indeed. I'm looking forward to having some friends come around. We got Bill Press joining us today.
All right. Bill Press, older than Joe Biden.
Is he?
We still love him. Yeah, man.
I wonder if he's as fit as Joe Biden. I see Joe Biden got a clean bill of health from the doctor. Not sure get one right about now.
I mean, was it as bad as Donald Trump's? Oh, the most fit president I've ever seen, ever in the history of the world, Donald Trump.
You know, sadly,
run for Congress.
Ronnie Jackson, Dr. Feelgood. He's in Congress. He's Rep Ronnie to you, Rep Dr. Feelgood to you, Dom.
Is he still passing out the pills like candy? I mean, that's how you get things done, right?
There have been some allegations, Dom, but
hey, one's free.
What did they say about Trump? He's 215,
I thought.
No, 239. When he had to get booked in the booking photo, he apparently got to self-report his height and weight. And, you know, according to Trump, he had dropped a few pounds to him, like 25, according to him. Although, you know, it doesn't show.
No, it's just a better suit.
Now, the former president and the current president, they find themselves in relative proximity today, Dom.
And you brought it 300 miles apart, Rudy. Yeah.
They both made a run to the border. That probably means something different than, you know, what it means for me.
It's not even bar time. Why would you bother?
Well, run for the border doesn't mean what it used to mean during college days. Then run for the border then was Taco Bell. Now it means Illinois. And for Joe and Trump, apparently it means what? Like Eagle Pass, Texas, somewhere down that ways, right?
Yeah.
Well, I understand you have the coverage. You're more interested in this than I, because in Texas today.
I think it's important. I mean, both the former and current president dueling trips to the southern border. Biden arrived in Air Force One to Brownsville, Texas. And Trump, where did Trump go? Was in Eagle Pass, Texas. They both spoke. The president just got done speaking about, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes ago. But, you know, they're both acknowledging, obviously, now they're acknowledging that we have a migrant crisis we need to desperately handle. We need to govern this and work this. And I'm down. Let's get something done. Let's create a solution. Let's put minds together. Let's perhaps put forward some legislation, maybe bipartisan legislation in the Senate, get something done. Well, they did that, but the Republicans, apparently, it's not good enough. They want Biden to use his executive power to govern by executive fiat. They're implicated. They don't need a bill. Mr. President, if you're concerned about the border, you have the ability to shut it down now? And of course, Biden out there saying, border patrol, they need resources. Here's what he says specifically. It's time for us to move on this. We can't wait any longer. This is part of Biden's shifting strategy, according to the New York Times, a shifting strategy on immigration. Rather than distance himself from a political headache, he's framing himself as the leader who's focused on solutions.
What's Trump doing? Focusing on the problems created by his successor? Because, you know, it was totally perfect, sealed. It's like a Ziploc bag when I was done with the border.
Also, on this topic as well, the New York Times also reporting, federal judge blocks sweeping new immigration law in Texas. The ruling halts the implementation of a law that would allow police officers to arrest and expel migrants, a victory for the federal government in its clash with Texas over the immigration powers. The ruling, a victory for the Biden administration, which argued the new state law violated federal statutes and the U.S. Constitution. The Texas law was supposed to go into effect, March 5th, next week. It will now be put on hold while a federal lawsuit to overturn the law moves forward. In granting a preliminary injunction, the judge appointed by Reagan said the federal government was likely to eventually win the case on the merits. My understanding, Paxton said he's already going to appeal. Of course, they will. Here's what the judge wrote in his 114-page decision regarding overturning the state of Texas immigration law. No matter how emphatic Texas criticism of the federal government's handling of immigration on the border may be to some, disagreement with the federal government's immigration policy does not justify a violation of the supremacy clause of the Constitution. He added that among the many legal problems presented by the Texas law, it would moot many asylum applications and seriously harm relations with Mexico. He said the provision of the law allowing state judges to order the removal of non-citizens is patently unconstitutional. Abbott, not very happy with that. We will not back down, Governor Abbott. We will not back down in our fight to protect our state or the nation from Biden's border crisis, as they're framing it.
That is how they frame it, Dom. I was just reading ahead a bit at the Washington Post. Biden and Trump visits to Texas offer a tale of two border cities, because they're in different towns, similar but different. No big shocker, Trump went to go see Greg Abbott at the militarized zone that Greg Abbott's trying to roll out down there, right? Here's a little of the coverage. Perhaps no city along Texas's border with Mexico has better epitomized what can happen when local leaders and volunteers band together to help the thousands of men, women, and children seeking a new life in the United States than Brownsville. The Gulfport, Gulf Coast port city is nestled within the U.S. Customs and Border Protection sector that has long seen the highest levels of migration. But even when border crossings surge, the shocks are quietly absorbed. Residents donate supplies and help orient the new arrivals on how to navigate their way to their final destinations. And then there's the way that Abbott does it. 300 miles upriver, Eagle Pass offers a tale of a far different border city. Texas Governor Greg Abbott has transformed the riverfront community into a military front line on immigration. Razor wire and rusted shipping containers warn migrants to stay away. And the military trucks and rifle-carrying troops occupy the city's biggest park. Don't play Frisbee there, Dom. As President Biden and Republican contender Donald Trump head to Texas today, the cities each have chosen to plant their flag on immigration, and they're a study in contrast. While both hug the Rio Grande, that's about where the similarities end. Their common origin stories, riverfront military garrisons that grew into bicultural communities, have diverged in ways that reflect the dynamics of this contested and region. The fundamentally different responses to coping with the surge in migration illustrate the crossroads that the nation faces as one of the election's most critical issues. Here is a quote, former Democratic State Texas Representative Pancho Navarez. This place, for better or worse, may be the fulcrum for who becomes the next president. It is here where we'll find out if Biden stays president or if Trump becomes president again. Now, Biden is visiting Brownsville. That's the sort of more progressive take on the immigrants, Dom. A Democratic stronghold in a sync with the party's traditional approach to immigration, balancing border security with humanitarian considerations. That's where they lose the abbot, right? The humanitarian. He doesn't like treating them like humans. It's there where Sister Norma Pimentel tells other civic and religious leaders in helping shepherd migrants across the border bridge after a newly elected Biden reversed Trump's Remain in Mexico program 3 years ago. Thousands had been stuck in squalid migrant camps just across the border, forced to wait in Mexico while their asylum claims were processed. The director of the Catholic Charities of the Rio Grande Valley said Pimentel, as the aforementioned, felt like the seasons at last had changed. It was so beautiful. But people not stuck in the squalid conditions across the border, Dom. In a city of nearly 190,000 residents, devotes its own resources, with the help from federal grants, to move migrants quickly to other places where friends and loved ones await them. And as fences, a towering wall, and Border Patrol agents have cemented their presence along the Rio Grande, a network of faith-based and civic non-governmental organizations on both sides of the border have also sprung up. They work closely with U.S. authorities to create an orderly system as possible to help when a number of people crossing climbs. We are the first responder, said Andrea Rudnick, a leader with the volunteer group Team Brownsville. And the mayor there, John Cohen, called the Brownsville model. He said that 45,000 people passed through the city in a 30-day span last year. The community was able to handle it so efficiently alongside the Border Patrol that most residents probably didn't even notice the sizable increase. The city remains one of the safest in the country. Safest. We never had a moment that was chaotic. It never felt out of control. That's what the mayor said, Dom. Compare that to the Republican-controlled stronghold of Eagle Pass, where we're going to arrest people. We're going to break the federal supremacy. We're going to do it Texas style. Secede. You know, perhaps go back and join old Mexico if they need. Folks, we are the devil's advocates. Bill Press along soon. Sorry, Dom.
A little stat here. Apparently, 2 million migrants were apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol agents on the southern border in both the fiscal years of 22 and 23. That number is the highest on record.
Come back. More devil's advocates. Dom could be the highest on record.
The Devil's Advocates, political commentary from the back of the class.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Love it when you join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. The current president, the former president, and perhaps one of these two gentlemen will be the next president, both in Texas, both down there talking about migration, illegal aliens, you know, however you want to frame it. Also today, a federal judge threw out a Texas new law was supposed to go into effect next week. SB4, apparently it closely followed the federal law barring illegal entry, making a state level misdemeanor from to Texas from Mexico. A second would be a felony. Now, specifically on the details there, the current, under that law, the Texas law, which again apparently mirrors or closely follows federal law, crossing into Texas from Mexico, treated as a misdemeanor, as mentioned, punishable by up to 180 days in jail and a fine of up to $2,000. Illegal reentry into Texas would be a felony offense, punishable with up to 2, 10, or 20 years in jail, depending on whether the migrant in question had been previously deported or convicted of certain crimes.
That's the state law version that was set aside, Dom?
That's correct. That is correct. And again, 2 million migrants apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol 2022 and 2023. So 4 million total in those 2 years, the highest on record. So does Texas has a right for their own protection? Do you agree that there should be something that they can do? And perhaps they cannot enforce federal law, but then can you force the federal law to, you know, maybe give more money and resources? What is the proper balance? I mean, there's a federal, you know, there's
well,
a U.S.
the way
border,
and Abbott's doing it. The way
I'm not talking about Abbott. I'm talking about us. You know what I mean? I'm recognizing
the way to do it was the bipartisan Senate bill that's already been killed by the House by MAGA Mike Johnson. You know, the Republicans don't want to. There's this poor dead woman in Georgia. They would rather never solve any of these supposed immigration crises. And obviously, you look at the numbers, seems like a bipartisan effort, suddenly afoot. Solve this problem. But Republicans, when empowered to solve this problem, when they won, when they got a yes, they spit it back and said, no, we would rather beat Joe Biden over the head with one-off incidents where some immigrant who didn't have a legal status kills somebody at the University of Georgia. And now we can blast the president over the individual act of some deviant. Now it's all his fault because he was the president and it's his border policies. And we heard that on right-wing talk radio the other day. Remember driving through Michigan, Dom? And I found it infuriating. Clay and Buck, I believe it was. It was like, oh, it's okay if you lose your kid in a car accident. I think that was the analogy they lost. But God forbid you should lose a kid to an illegal alien. That'd be a whole less patriotic way to die. I didn't quite understand the rationalization they were making at the time. But this is purely kabuki theater. This is to beat Biden over the head with it. And how do I know? Because there sits CJ with his right-wing talking points right in the queue, right on cue. Welcome to the show, CJ. What'd they say on Fox News?
Well, this is a success to the Biden administration. You'll never hear him say the name Riley Lake and Willia, you know, because he's got blood on his hands, along with the VP Harris.
So everybody that died while Donald Trump was the president from COVID, he's got all that blood on his hands as well, right? Because he minimized and didn't do enough. I mean, a one-off, some
more
poor dead woman, this is the president's fault, CJ? What if she died in an automobile accident with an immigrant who wasn't currently licensed to drive? Would it be just as desperate, CJ?
I do want to thank you for lifting the ban because, you know, most of the hosts are afraid of me now, but I'm calling and, you know, at least you have the guts to do it. But, you know, Martha's Vineyard, it took Martha's Vineyard for the Democrats to care about illegal immigration. It took January 6th.
I don't believe, Democrats do care about migration. I don't believe you, CJ, and I'm not going to let you ramble on. There was a bipartisan bill, man. And as Crudy mentioned, the Republicans killed it. Why? They want the political football alive for the election season. And you can't tell me it's in desperate straits if the Republicans are going to continue to play politics with it.
CJ, I actually agree in some level with your suggestion that the effort to send immigrants to Martha's Vineyard actually made this, nationalized this issue, put it in Democratic backyards, and forced action. Let's assume you're right on this, CJ. So what? Why don't we solve the problem?
Well, I don't know further human trafficking solves the problem, man. We do have an effort. We had a bipartisan deal.
But he's talking about the timing, and I was trying to talk to CJ, and you keep cutting him off, man. So, CJ.
Sorry, go ahead.
Congress passed 9 months ago HR 2, and Schumer and the Democrats never brought it up. The Republicans are standing firm, thank God, because, you know, if Ukraine,
but
they care more about the Ukraine border than they do our own.
Okay, well, and the Ukraine border's under military invasion, and H.R. 2 is a intolerable bill, CJ. It's really just the fever sweat dream of the Stephen Millers and the hard right in the House. It's not even acceptable to Senate Republicans, CJ. But when Senate Republicans brought back a reasonable bipartisan bill, the very same House Freedom Caucus killed it dead on arrival, right? So you can't have it both ways, CJ. You can't say we didn't accept your bill, which was nothing but a poison pill. But when we came together and negotiated, You didn't accept your own bill.
Look at a chart, and you'll see Biden on day one signed executive order.
Okay, now I'm with you, Dom. We'll move on. 844-967-2789. Let's sneak at least one more in. Joe from Madison, welcome. What do you got for us, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
I find this, I am sorry to be so cynical about this, but obviously this is grandstanding for the Republicans for Trump. They were told, don't you ever give a success for Biden because I want to run on immigration. It makes people hot and bothered.
Yes.
I would add to this discussion, there are laws on the books now that those employers who knowingly hire illegals go to prison. There are laws on the books for that. They are not enforced. I would argue that instead of sending the illegal immigrant into a prison system for 20 years, gee, that's going to have some nice bills to it. I guess the private prison industry is going to be doing real well under that situation, and we're going to be paying for it. People spending 20 years behind bars that try to get into our country. How about we do this? How about we say to all the dairy farmers in the state of Wisconsin, if you hire people without adequate paper, we're sending you to prison. Well, is that going to happen? I don't think so, because the dairy industry in Wisconsin relies on illegal labor because of the way the immigration is structured. They don't have yearly visas that people can apply for. And there are just tons of people working on Wisconsin dairy farms who don't have paper. We all know this. We all know this, and we just turn our head to it. So if you really want to make a dent in immigration situations, start picking the roofing contractors, the painting contractors, all those people working in car washes, for the people who run those, off they go to prison because the laws are on the book to tackle the problem in that way. So it's just 2 cents from me, but I find it, obviously, this is all just to decorate Trump so that he can waltz in.
They're taking our jobs!
They are contributing to the GDP. We'll get to that next and more of your phone calls, 844-967-2789.
And Bill Press, right? Bill Press?
Oh, yeah. When's that?
Right now.
Oh, all right.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We welcome back a friend and a fine colleague in broadcast. He is Bill Press, podcaster, pundit, friend of the Devil's Advocates. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm doing good. Did you tell Dom I was coming?
I did. I just
used to get you a 5:30, Bill. This whole 4:30 Central time, it's mixing me up.
Good to see you guys.
Yeah, likewise, Bill.
All right.
Great. Bill, the current politics, they've got me a little chagrined. I'm a little embittered, specifically starting with the U.S. Supreme Court taking up the Trump immunity thing. Bill, I just want a trial, for Christ's sake, man. Why can't I just see the evidence presented to the court and the verdict against the former president? Why is the U.S. Supreme Court taking this up? This seems like partisan hackery of the worst sort.
They're taking it up because, like the Republican Senate caucus, like the Republican House caucus, they are nothing but eunuchs in the Trump temple worshiping Donald Trump. This is disgusting for them to take this up. I think it's an abuse of justice, and it just makes a mockery of the entire Supreme Court. Look, this case, let's back up, okay? What Donald Trump is saying is, I take the oath of office to uphold the laws of the land, but they don't apply to me, baby, because I'm president or I'm former president. You don't need a Harvard lawyer to know that that is BS. You could ask any fifth grader, right? I mean, maybe a third grader. It's outrageous. And this has already been taken up by the district court in Washington, D.C. Judge Chunkin last December said, basically, are you out of your freaking mind? She said, she did say, I'm quoting her almost exactly, of all the privileges that a former president enjoys, a get out of free pass card for life is not one of them. Right? I mean, you could not be any clearer. So Trump appeals it, of course. And the full court took it up. Three judges, they laughed in his face. And they said, for this case, former President Trump is now citizen Trump. So you're just like everybody else. You got to go 57 pages. They went point by point through everything Donald Trump had claimed, shot it down, trashed it, ridiculed it. There is no need for the Supreme Court to take this up, other than, like all these other people, they are afraid of Donald Trump. I mean, just to consider for them to take the time, the highest court in the land, to take the time to question one of the most fundamental principles of this country, that nobody is above the law, is unbelievable. Now, let me tell you what's worse. Clarence Thomas is going to help decide it, right? Right. Clarence Thomas, whose wife was on the Trump team, Clarence Thomas, whose wife was part of the effort to overthrow the 2020 election, Clarence Thomas is not going to recuse himself, and Judge John Roberts will not ask him or publicly demand that he do so. None of the other judges will too. If this case were in a court of law anywhere else in the country, Clarence Thomas would not be allowed on the jury because he has too many obvious conflicts of interest. He wouldn't be allowed on the jury. And yet he's got a vote, as well as the other Trump appointees, on this Supreme Court. But Clarence Thomas is the one who's got the most conflicts of all.
You know, I didn't realize Rehnquist had actually recused in the Nixon case many years ago. I don't think Clarence will follow that example.
No. Are you kidding? So there's something else about this, which is the timing, okay? Why this is important. Now, you mentioned Rehnquist. We remember Bush v. Gore, right? When the Supreme Court basically named the next president of the United States. It took them 3 days to hear the case, to debate the case, and to decide it. This court has already took 2 weeks to decide whether or not they were going to hear the case. Now that they've said they're going to hear arguments, they've agreed to take it, not until the week of the 22nd of April, which means they've done exactly what Donald Trump wanted. They have kissed his big ass, orange ass, and they're going to allow this trial will not take place until maybe in the summer, maybe even in September, October, maybe even after the election. That's exactly what Donald Trump wants. He is trying to run out the clock, delay, so that he thinks he'll be reelected. Then he'll give himself the great big fat pardon from everything that he's been accused of. The Supreme Court is doing exactly what Donald Trump wants.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Bill Press. He's a podcaster and a friend of ours. Bill, the specific question, according to the Supreme Court, limiting itself to answer, whether and if so, to what extent does a former president enjoy presidential immunity from criminal prosecution for conduct alleged to involve official acts during his tenure in office? Norm Eisen is being reported here at the Raw Story, saying that perhaps they want to be a little more nuanced than the appeals court in suggesting that, you know, perhaps a president couldn't be can it be prosecuted for acts for military actions or pardons or for firing officials, something like that, to kind of frame it a little more than just being so across the board. Do you give any credence to that kind of line of thinking?
I don't give any credence whatsoever to any of these legal experts who are excusing what the Supreme Court did. None. They're just looking for a way. But everybody, it drives me crazy. Too many reporters, too many legal experts look for a way to give Donald Trump a break. Look, no other president has been charged with a crime because no other president committed a crime. What we're talking about with Donald Trump is not sending troops off to war. That's not a crime, right? It's not, I don't know, putting more cops at the border or whatever. They're not crimes. Donald Trump sent an armed mob to attack the United States Capitol, to overthrow the United States government, to jeopardize the lives of every single member of Congress and the Vice President of the United States. And he thinks he ought to get away with it. You know, it comes back to the truest thing that Donald Trump ever said, maybe the only true thing he said in his entire freaking life, was in 2016 when he said, "I could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose any votes." Guess what? Now he's saying, "I can do worse than that. I can attack the United States Capitol and I won't lose any votes on the Supreme Court." And you know what? He may be right. So don't give him any leeway at all. But so I got it. I wrote a column on this. It's up to date. And I, so I'm a little exercised about this. So anyhow, I got an email from somebody I don't even know, an email saying, you know, maybe the answer to this is, if Donald Trump says, remember his attorneys in court argued that as president, he could send the Navy SEALs out to kill his political opponent and he would not be accountable under the law because he's president of the United States. So this person emailed me and said, maybe we ought to do what Donald Trump says he ought to be able to do. Do it now. Send the SEALs out. Kill them all. If he could do it, Biden could do it.
That's such a terrible precedent, Bill. The Supreme Court. I know. But it, of course, that is the problem. And I don't know how they don't see that as a concern, if that's what you're advocating for.
It shows how crazy it is. It shows how totally crazy it is. Yeah.
The Supreme Court. It's been 3 weeks, Bill, since they heard the Colorado case about whether or not Donald Trump can be on the ballot. Illinois, a judge in Illinois just declared today Donald Trump cannot be on the ballot in Illinois. Is this further delay, in your opinion, Bill? What do you think is taking so long on that case?
Well, first of all, I think I understand they're taking that case. I understand it more. But look, I've read the 14th Amendment. You've read the 14th Amendment. I think the language is pretty clear. He's an insurrectionist. He is not qualified to run for president under the Constitution of the United States. Now, I was disappointed at the progressives or liberals on the court when they heard this case, because they're here again, always looking for the nuance, right? And they're saying, well, we can't let every state decide. So some states he'll be on and some states he won't be on. It's not as whether each state could do it. Is under the Constitution, can he run in any state? They should have gone right to the heart of the matter. Instead, they're looking at all this. So my guess is that they'll say Colorado can't do this because on the back to the state by state by state doesn't work. But I think they're wrong on that one. And God forbid, I mean, we're done. The United States is done if they rule that the president has immunity. It's everything we believe in, everything we've been taught, everything we've done for the last 270 years is meaningless. If we have, I mean, didn't we seek our freedom and win our freedom because we didn't want somebody who was above the law?
We don't want a king.
Certainly not this one. No. Yeah, right.
A benevolent king, perhaps, Bill.
Unbelievable. I can't. I mean, how could they? But they needed 4 votes to take it, and they got them.
Bill, the craziest part, Bill Press, our good friend, podcaster, pundit, friend of the devil's, Bill, the fact that he's so broke-ass is going to do him in well before any criminal trial will, because he's already had these civil judgments ruled against him. And his attorneys effectively had to come out yesterday and say he doesn't have enough cash to pay the bond. And my understanding is, Bill, that Letitia James is very anxious to start seizing New York State assets. They could effectively take Trump Tower. I think that would be almost more damaging than some criminal conviction would be. It would damage the brand worse, if you know what I'm saying, Bill.
Yes. By the way, I mean, I must say I take a certain delight in watching Donald Trump now, who's always bragged that he's the richest man on earth, right? Now he can't pay his bills. By the way, the 450, I think, is just the New York State. That does not count what he owes E. Jean Carroll, right?
Right.
So it's even more than that, right? And, you know, so he tried to get in easy instead of $450 million, saying, okay, I'll put up a bond for 100, And they said, oh, no. You got to come up with a whole amount of cash. He does not have that much cash. And so he's probably got 30 days to come up with it, or he's going to lose what I think it's 40 Wall Street is the big Trump building on Wall Street, and Trump Tower, and God knows what else. It's too bad they can't take Mar-a-Lago out from under him.
Oh, man's got to live, Bill.
For what it's worth, or what they claim it's worth?
Well, yeah. Right. And that one, I mean, from what I remember, I got, the Florida, the county assessor said it's worth like $70 million, and he said it was like worth $300 million. But the worst was in his condo in New York, or his townhouse in New York, right? And they said, he said it was 30,000 square feet, and it's like 10,000 square feet. I mean, the guy's just lied to his state.
Yeah, that's different than an appraisal of a square foot. That's, you know, tripling the actual physical number. It's not anything to do with whether or not that square foot price is one thing or another. But Bill, when we come back, I got to get your take on this. So what do we know? Well, we know Alvin Bragg, man, he's lining up. He's ready to go in less than a month. The Manhattan DA, the hush money fraud case. Yeah. That's going to be, is that going to be the one?
Can perhaps? Stormy Daniels save democracy, Bill Press?
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. And also, I'm wondering, and I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I wonder if there's an effort or a thought in the air that, you know, perhaps it would be better for a former president to be convicted of a hush money case than being convicted for an insurrection and all the things that go with that. I want to give Bill's opinion. Bill Press, he's our friend. You can join us as well, 844-967-2789. Find him at Bill Press Pod on the Twitters, and stick around. He'll be right back with us.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Bill Press, he's a podcaster. He's a friend of ours. He's a prognosticator. He's sticking around for another segment. Bill, we do know 3 weeks from Monday, Alvin Bragg in Manhattan will go and start the trial against Donald Trump for his fraud related to the hush money payoff, as the origin story of his election interference, as it were, Bill. I know we're all kind of wound up about the Supreme Court right now. What's your thought on the Alvin Bragg prosecution?
Well, first of all, I understand why people are confused, because Donald Trump, there's so many lawsuits, right? There's so many going on. You really do need a scorecard to keep track of them all, right? We didn't think that the Alvin Bragg, Stormy Daniels would go first, but because Trump's been successful at delaying the federal trials, the civil trials, where he has a lot less clout, right, have been moving along. And it turns out the first one, and then the Georgia thing got all messed up because of Fannie Willis, bad judgment. So it turns out that Alvin Bragg is the first one out of the box. I think what's interesting about this case is that, what we are so excited about is seeing Stormy Daniels on the stand with Donald Trump sitting there, and then Catherine McDougal, who's the other woman,
the former Playboy playmate, I believe it, Karen McDougal, but
Karen McDougal,
who's keeping score,
Karen McDougal, right? But seeing them, hearing them testify, and hearing all the details, I mean, that's just going to be juicy, juicy, juicy. But the heart of the Alvin Bragg thing, let's not forget, is not that he had an extramarital affair, right? It's that he did this as a way of, he lied about paying him in order to influence the election so that she wouldn't talk about it. And you know what? That might have been 100,000 votes? Who knows? It was another election interference case, right? It's just, in a sense, it's the mini version of the January 6th case, right? So I think it's extremely significant, and I wouldn't bet on Donald Trump's chances.
You know,
in that case,
Bill Press, I'm as looking forward to the testimony of the former fixer Michael Cohen and the unfortunately named David Pecker, the former head of the National Enquirer. He was the catch and kill guy, and that's how they killed the story of Karen McDougal, the alleged Playboy playmate who apparently had a multi-year affair with Trump, reportedly. So right. I think there's actually a lot of witnesses that are going to lay down some evidence. And I would wonder, will this be televised? Can we play this on the radio?
God, I hope so. I hope the audio is out there. Yeah, but you're right. So let's, again, you need a scorecard. You know, the documents case is extremely important. The January 6th case is extremely important. But before either of them might get into the box, right, let's keep track. He has already been found guilty of sexual assault, which the judge said amounted to rape in the E. Jean Carroll case, and slammed for $85 million. He will most likely he's already been found guilty of financial fraud, lying about how much he's worth and his property is worth, and lying to the banks and taking advantage of that. Already been found guilty in those two cases, and most likely he'll be found guilty, chances are very high, he'll be found guilty again before the federal trials start, right, of election interference in the Stormy Daniels case. I can't believe that the Republicans are just going to say, oh, yeah, he may be a rapist, he may be a liar, he may be broke, he may, you know, but cheated on his wife and tried to told her lie about it to influence him. But we don't care. He's our guy, man. He's the best we've got. He is our role model, especially the evangelical Christians. They're going to hold him up and say, this is the man Jesus wants to be president.
But Bill, we were just in Michigan. They did just that. Nikki Haley seemed very unappealing to the MAGA Republican base. She got under 30%, Bill. She's not gaining steam. She's losing steam. Trump is again galvanizing the party around him.
He's right. He's galvanizing his base. That's all. They're the only people who vote in the primary. I'm not that impressed with what Trump has done. First of all, look, we've talked about this. That cast of characters who went up against Donald Trump in the primary, they were all jokers, right? I mean, come on. Ron DeSantis, yeah, really? Vivek Ramaswamy, like, really? The only one that had any balls was Chris Christie, right? None of the others would take him on. But look, 50% of people in Iowa didn't vote for in the base, in his base, 50% of people in Iowa didn't vote for him. 40% of people in South Carolina didn't vote for him. But don't be surprised if Donald Trump's base is with Donald Trump's base no matter what.
Unless it comes out to be broke, man, and the brand is gone and the shine is off and it sinks in. I don't know. Do you think Nikki Haley, I was reading some articles recently, that Nikki Haley, maybe she'll, you know, take it to the convention. She'll get some delegates. She'll have some influence on the process. If we could certainly have at least a Trump conviction on the Stormy Daniels election interference fraud thing from Bragg by then. And, you know, whatever comes out with the money thing, that should be rectified, you know, certainly before that as well. There's going to be what is right now, Bill, is not what's going to be reality in 3 or 4 months from now. And Nikki Haley, do you think she stays in?
Yes, she stays in. And I think her plan is, by the way, you're right. And I keep telling people that the reality we see today is not the reality it's going to be in 3 or 4 months. There's more. The more this stuff comes crashing down on Donald Trump, they're going to have to be a reckoning. Are we really going to go ahead with a convicted rapist, a man certainly convicted of sexual assault, as the party's nominee for president? Nikki Haley is running on the hope, right, that at some point Republicans say there's too much baggage, we got to move on, and that she's the only one left standing, and therefore she's the nominee. But I got the news for Nikki Haley. Republicans are never going to nominate her. If that happens, they'll go to somebody else. I don't know who. Maybe Glenn Youngkin from Virginia. I don't know. Won't be Nikki Haley.
Wow, Bill. Prognosticating. That's what we love about you, buddy.
Republicans are not going to nominate a woman, particularly not a woman of color, and not somebody who took on Donald Trump.
Will there be a shutdown this weekend, Bill Press? Or immediately following the weekend? I hear we have a two-day reprieve.
Yeah, can you believe these guys? I mean, they are, and they get paid for this, right? Jesus, just do your job. Just pass the freaking budget. I mean, why do we have to do this? It's we've seen this movie how many times in the last year? It's really disgusting. Yeah, a whole bunch of them.
Bill Press.
Mike Johnson, what a worthless speaker. God.
Bill Press, love you, brother. Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, see you guys.